Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
Today is my second interview for Seeds Beyond My Skin. And today I'm speaking with Brian Caputo. I first met Brian and his wife, Jamie, when they lived in the same apartment building as my family in the Germantown section of Philadelphia. Brian was always an outspoken person in the community and someone who helped me start See Beyond My Skin. Brian works in IT at the Philadelphia Art Museum. Hi, Brian. Thanks for being willing to speak with me today. I'm always glad when I get a chance to talk with you.
Me too. It's a pleasure speaking with you today. It's always a pleasure learning from you and also maybe teaching you something too, but I'm always learning from you.
So let's go into the questions, I guess.
Sure.
Hi. Have you always lived in Philly?
I was born in Kenya and I moved to Philadelphia at a young age of about 4 years old. And I lived in Philadelphia most of my life. There were some points where I lived in Savannah, Georgia. Mostly Philadelphia for a good portion of my life.
What made you move from Kenya? Do you miss it?
I moved when I was very young, and it was more a family move. We moved here to be with my father. He was an American citizen, but my mom and I were not originally. And I do miss aspects of Kenya from what I can remember and from when I visited. It's definitely a different way of life, in a sense, from when I was there last. Not as chaotic, and everything is more go with the flow.
How do you bridge the culture of America with your family culture?
I believe so. I'm more Americanized than other family from Kenya, but I've definitely bridged that culture. I live in both worlds, mostly the American world, but I live in both worlds in a sense.
Okay, so I know you work in IT at the Philadelphia Art Museum. As a person of color, was it hard to get into the tech profession? And do you think the tech industry is biased?
Well, so getting the tech industry as a person of color, I didn't even think about it that way, too. I know that we are underrepresented in the tech industry, and some of that might have to do with systemic biases versus actual talent. I was lucky enough for someone to recognize my talent and give me a chance to show my skill. I didn't come from the original technical backgrounds of college education in the IT field, but it was all self-taught. And they saw that they saw that I could excel and achieve. I definitely do think there are biases in the tech industry. That's because people are not represented fairly. Even with the opposite gender, women are not represented fairly in the tech industry, and race isn't represented fairly in the tech industry. So, and that goes with any industry, honestly. And I live in a city that's predominantly African-American, but yet the workforce of the museum is less than 8%. There are some biases here and there, whether they're intentional or not.
That's really interesting. So, Ben, I know you're someone who never shies away from conversations about race and someone who isn't afraid to say how you feel. Does that sometimes land you in tough situations?
Yes. Yes, but I think I always navigate out of those tough situations, in a sense. But I haven't been in any situation where I haven't been able to get out of, never really kind of faced negative consequences that I know of my outspokenness and never willing to back down from the topic, even in the workplace. It's interesting. I bring it up all the time, and it's never overlooked, but it's never frowned upon and it's encouraged at my workplace at the moment. But I can't say that's the experience with everybody else.
That's actually really cool.
Yeah, my department is a unicorn in the museum also, so that's a different thing. And by unicorn, I mean, like, my managers are definitely not the norm, you know, of most departments at the museum. So I think I get a little bit of benefit from that.
Okay. You helped me hone my ideas for my nonprofit. Judging by the beginning of 2021, what do you think would be a peaceful way we could change the way this country perceives people of color?
Well, that's a tough one. I don't think there's a one way. It has to be multifaceted. I mean, to help and please people of color, you need to end systemic racism at a top level down, all the way down from education to healthcare to jobs and equality and access. 2021 is off to a very interesting start, that's for sure. This is what happened earlier in this week during the Capitol riots, I guess. You know, African Americans, the people of color, can't go anywhere if white people don't also step up and step in. You know, the only thing I can say is, you know, more people need to step up, more people need to step in, more people need to vote and vote for the right politicians, more people need to be more informed about who they're voting for. And we need to get rid of false sources, you know, like false information should not be shared readily and should not be accessibly, you know, or should be, it's not censored, but, you know, heavily asterisked, I guess, you know, like this is not real information, you know, like make sure it's only on satire websites or stuff like that. You know, like The Onion doesn't get in trouble because they're a satire website and they know they're telling jokes and they're just like, this is not real. But other sites are saying this is real when it's not real. And, you know, people should be held accountable for that.
That makes sense. I have another question. When you went to the topic of the Capitol riots, it also reminded me of the one video of the lady who was yelling at, I think it was like a 15-year-old black kid, and she thought he stole her phone.
Right.
What was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction to that is, the lady who stole the phone doesn't identify as white, you know, but she was using white supremacy in a sense to try to get her way. And, you know, she didn't obviously in the video say this black man stole my video, but she did use she's perceived as white, even though she doesn't identify as white. I forget what the term is called, but being like, you know, white identifiable or being mistaken as white, you know, and so using her power to be mistaken as white, she tried to use that as leverage to inflict damage or get somebody in trouble, obviously an innocent person in trouble. And then seeing the DC riots of all these white people basically storming the Capitol, beating up police officers, one was even murdered, and seeing them kind of get away with it. You know, they're being arrested now after the fact, but if it was like a Black Lives Matter protest, the first day of Black Lives Matter, I believe three times as many black people were arrested during those peaceful protests versus these people storming the Capitol. I have a lot to say about what happened. You know, like, I do believe that law enforcement was also inside on it. You know, not everyone in all law enforcement wasn't on official capacity, but there were definitely law enforcement officials there who let people in. There were definitely officials who used their credentials and their status to get in. And, you know, and it's sad, honestly, that there's two different Americans, that white people, when they're rioting and actually attempting to kidnap a sitting vice president, you know, barely get a response from police. They planned it for weeks. It wasn't like new information.
One of the big things that people were finding kind of hypocritical was that if it was the Black Lives Matter protest with the same like amount of people there, it would have been a lot more like people being outraged.
Right. It would have been a lot more police presence. A lot of police officers are Trump supporters. And so, you know, like they didn't view this as a threat because they're just like, how are my people a threat? You know, I'm just like them. Not realizing that it was all a threat to all of democracy to begin with.
Yeah, I feel like this won't be like the only protest that would happen or riot to say. But I feel there'll probably be an even bigger protest or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen. There are rumors that they're going to protest. There are rumors that they're going to try again. And if that happens, I hope they get charged. And I hope they face the consequences of their actions. You know, they're not doing anything constructive. They're not asking to, you know, unlike the Black Lives Matter protest workers, asking for fair treatment, you know, versus this is just trying to steal a democratic process. You know,
yeah.
The people believe in conspiracy theories and they get sucked into these things. I feel sad that people have to suffer, but they did it to themselves, in a sense. They cause their own suffering and they cause their own pain. And they inflicted all of this. None of this was, nobody did this to them. Nobody forced them to go do this. They did this on their own.
Yeah. Anyway, to move to the next question. What advice would you give me for really getting things to impact more people with this nonprofit?
Be honest with people. You know, like always be honest with yourself and be honest with people. That's one thing that people latch onto the most is honesty. And also, you know, be fair. And hopefully we can reach the right resources and the right audience, you know, and finding the right correct target audience to help spread the awareness and the help that your nonprofit's trying to do.
Yeah. And lastly, how do you want the world to perceive you?
Oh, ha. That's good. I guess everybody wants the world to perceive them as a good person. I don't know how else to put it. Good person who did things for people, who helped out, was kind. I don't know. That's a difficult one. Well, I don't have a good answer for you.
That was a pretty good answer.
Thank you.
And thanks for taking the time to speak with me. Your friendship and opinions are really important to this nonprofit.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And no, thank you for starting this nonprofit and getting the ball rolling, you know. Thanks people like you to make change.
I wouldn't have actually started this nonprofit if you hadn't given me enough momentum for it.
Well, I appreciate that. That's good to hear. Well, I'm glad I was able to inspire you. And I'm glad that you're going to be able to change the world. Even though I inspired you, the credit's all yours.
Thanks.
It was always a pleasure talking to you, Nigel. And I appreciate and I hope to hear more come forward and hope to be more part of the nonprofit. And good luck.
Yeah. Goodbye.
That was Brian Caputo. And I'm Nigel Uzi. Stay strong and stay true to your story.